with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are rolling along live from Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. And Michael, there are some people that need the advice of a former professional sports executive. They need honesty. They do.
I think that's the hardest thing is when you know, sometimes people are scared of the truth. You know, there's a difference between loyalty and devotion. When you're devoted to somebody, you don't tell them the truth. When you're loyal to somebody, you tell them the truth. And I think today in this media, social media world, too many players, coaches, they don't hear the truth. They hear what they want to hear. So I think it's kind of important. So anyway, we'll go with it.
Yes. So without any further ado, it is time for Step Into My Office. And we're going to have a couple college basketball coaches, a few NFL free agents that we're going to have step into Michael's office to have a little bit of a conversation, maybe a little bit of a reality check as well. When you need the tough love, sometimes we're fortunate that we have Michael here that can give it to you. We're going to start to the surprise of no one with Purdue Boilermakers head coach Matt Painter. Michael, he is your 10 o'clock. Purdue, the second ever top seed to lose to a number 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. They fall 63-58 to your Fairleigh Dickinson boys on Friday. You don't want to be the 2-2 and 148 a stat as far as this NCAA tournament goes. What does he need to hear right now as the Boilermakers are out early in the tournament again, bumped from a double-digit seed?
You know, I think, Matt, the number one thing we have to figure out is why we win and why we lose. And, you know, the last two seasons, you've won close to almost 60 games in the regular season. But the tournament has been a disappointing. So there has to be an adjustment on your coaching in terms of, am I getting the team ready during the season to become a playoff team? And that's always the challenge every head coach goes through is, what lies distantly in the future? Yes, we want to win the Big Ten. Yes, we want to get seeded really well. But what's more important, preparing the team for the obstacles that await or winning the regular season? And I think after 2 years of frustration, I think that's where you have to focus. And I would spend most of my time this offseason, if I were Matt Painter, I would be studying what ingredients my team lacks, why I can't get to the next level. And that comes from coaching, that comes from players, and that comes from adjustments during the game. You know, how we handle things. You know, when they fronted the big fella, what was our adjustment to it? So everybody's accountable for why we didn't get there. It's just we need better players is a lazy excuse. So for me, I would spend a lot of time saying, how could I do things differently in the regular season to help benefit myself during the postseason?
Especially when you look at that matchup with Fairleigh Dickinson specifically, you have Zach Edey, who's one of the biggest players in all of college basketball, taking on a team that is quite literally the smallest in the country.
Right.
Their team averages six foot, 1 inch and a quarter.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, he's got to be honest with himself. Yeah. The only way you improve is when you admit you've made the mistakes. And he's got to say to himself, I got to do a better job. I've got to figure this out. And it really comes out with, what are we doing during the season? This just wasn't a one-game mishap. This was, what are we not preparing for?
The biggest upset in the history of the NCAA tournament. Purdue is a 23.5-point favorite in the game, and now it is 3 years in a row. They were eliminated by a 13, a 15, and now a 16. We saw North Texas, of course, St. Peter's last year, and now Fairleigh Dickinson. Okay, more people need your advice.
Yes.
Odell Beckham Jr., with Brandon Cooks now headed over to the Cowboys, it seems it's another team that is out on the OBJ sweepstakes. We're trying to figure out who is in. And if people want to be in, what's OBJ have to do? He's coming off the ACL in the Super Bowl last year, wasn't able to find a home late in the regular season. What do you need to tell OBJ as he tries to revive his career?
Well, I think, Odell, you need to understand where you are in your career. You since 2017... you've only had one season where you've played the entire year. Nobody pays for guys to sit out. This isn't the NBA. Like, we don't have load management in the NFL. You get paid for 17 games, you got to play in 17 games, or else you're just not going to get the big money. And I think when you look at your career and you analyze your career over the course of time, you haven't been able to produce the numbers or the touchdowns. I mean, you scored 35 touchdowns in your first three seasons. You haven't scored 35 touchdowns since in all the remaining seasons. So you're declining. You haven't been the same player. Is it your off season? What is it? No one pays for past performance. Now, you've got a great name. You've got an unbelievable social media following. You've got a star attraction. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to pay for what someone else got. The Giants got your 35 touchdowns. What else have we got? Now, I know you scored five. You're coming off of two ACLs. You've yet to be healthy. Like, either you're going to play for a pay, a perform contract, or you're not going to play. Nobody's just going to give you money.
So what's, I'm glad that you gave him that reality check. Now I'll counter with what's the number, because he said that the reports of him asking for 15, 20 million aren't accurate, but four is not enough for him.
Well, then he's not going to play. I don't know how he gets four. Like, I don't, first of all, I don't even know where you are, Odell, in terms of your health. Can you still burst? Can you still catch? I mean, think about this now. Since 2018, he has not been above 63% of catch to target ratio. That's a ridiculously low number, right? Last year when he was with the Rams, he was 56. When he was with the Browns, he was 50. The year before with the Browns, he was 53. Like, I'm throwing you the ball, it's 50-50. And now you're telling me you're a superstar? Like, Devontae Adams is at 70. That's why he's getting this money. You got to be able to perform. When I throw you the ball, there's got to be a better than 68% chance you're going to catch it. You'd have never done that in 3 years.
Anybody can look good on a football field, showing only social media the good things and the amazing catches.
Well,
that you made.
The other thing is there's a perception. The reality is, Odell, you never play. You don't play. You're never on the field. You're never healthy. We're not the NBA. This isn't a load management. Oh, take the night off. It's okay. Like, that's not the NFL. You got to show up every night.
All right. Step into Michael Lombardi's office. Mitch Henderson, head coach of Princeton Hoops, after upsetting the number 2 seed Arizona Wildcats and then dominating Elliott Bowman's Mizzou Tigers. Apologies. The Princeton Tigers are in the Sweet 16. They are everybody's darling, just the 4th 15 seed to reach the second weekend of the tournament ever. What should Mitch Henderson's message be to the squad?
Hey, why not us, Mitch? I mean, look, you were a great athlete coming out of Indiana in high school, Mr. Indiana basketball, went to Princeton. You played a little bit in the NBA for the Hawks. You know what it's like. It's hard to get here. Last year, you lose to the NIT in the first round. This year, you're in the Sweet 16. Why not us? And I think ultimately what you have to do is take the last 5 minutes of the last game, when you got a lot of pressure in that game, when you were feeling it, when they were trying to get the ball back, and how your team handled the pressure. Can you come back from that? I think you got to prepare for the level of play that Creighton is going to bring to the table. They're going to raise the level of play and see how you handle it. And I think if your team just plays calm, look, you got a mature team. You're a mature coach. You've been there a long time. You understand what it's going to take. All you've got to do, and because you're from Indiana, all you've got to do is play your best game next time. It's no different than Hickory High. They just played their best game the next time. So when you face Creighton, you just got to play your next game. But you got to understand how teams are going to adjust and play you slightly differently because of how the last end of the game went.
And you know everybody is rooting for Cinderella, so you're going to have everybody on your side in that game. I heard a really cool interview actually from him earlier this morning where he was saying there's been a moment in each game where you could tell that our players in the huddle felt like they could be better than the other side. And so you wonder if they can get that feeling again.
No doubt. And I think what you have to do is, you know, the hardest thing in sports to do is don't exaggerate the wins and don't forget about the losses. And I think Mitch was smart enough to do that. And even though they beat Missouri and they won that game convincingly, there were moments in the Missouri game when Missouri pressured them. As soon as the ball was in bounds, Princeton struggled to get it in. And so you've got to believe that Creighton saw that on tape. Mm-hmm. And so as a good coach, you've got to say, okay, how would I play my team? They're going to make you play a different way. They're going to make you play left-handed. How would I play? And I think that's what Mitch has got to do. Look, he's a really smart guy. He's been experienced. He's coached a long time at Princeton. You know, he was at Northwestern. He's played. He's an elite player. He's an elite athlete. I think he's just got to go in there and say, fellas, here's how we got to play the game, you know? And yeah, we know Yale beat you twice this year. Does it matter? Not at all.
One more NFL free agent to step into your office. Ezekiel Elliott, free agent back out of the Cowboys, cut by the team just a couple weeks ago. He had 876 yards, 12 touchdowns on 3.8 yards per carry this past season, his lowest total yardage and yards per carry of his career. What's the advice for Elliott?
Zeke, I'd call Tom Brady up and I say, Tom, look, I need the TB method. I need to get my body in shape. I need to be able to figure out and spend time with you and understand how I can rejuvenate my lower body and get that burst that I don't have anymore. Because I'm still too young to just walk away from this game. I've made a lot of money. The Cowboys have overpaid me for 3 years. Money's not important to me. What's important to me is having that elite status as a player. And so, Tom, you've got to tell me, like, what do I need to do? How do I need to train? How much should I weigh? I'm going to cut weight. I'm going to get my burst back. I'm going to become a different player. And it starts today. And that's really up to you, Zeke. I think you can do it. There's still a good player in that body. I just don't think you're in great shape. Since the Cabo trip 3 years ago, you haven't been the same guy.
Why does this happen to players when they get the big payday that things can fall off?
Well, I think it's exactly, somebody sent me this quote the other day, and I think it's true. Marvin Hagler has a great line. I'm going to write about this for the Daily Coach later today. Is it's hard to get up and train at 5 a.m. when you sleep in silk pajamas.
That is a good line.
You know, and so it's hard when you're successful and you got all this money in the bank. It's hard to train. It's hard to go out there and be so great, you know, and you've got to be willing to do it. That's why it makes Brady so good. That's why if I'm Zeke and I'm his agent, call Brady. Brady will take your call. Brady's in that mentor mode right now. Mm-hmm. He's willing to help anybody.
And that reminds me of what Aaron Rodgers even was saying in his interview this past week about, like, I wanted to work out and see how I felt, see if I was still motivated, see if I still wanted to be in this. Because it could make sense to get complacent when you're at the level
you are. Well, the number one cancer for all players is contentment.
Yeah.
Contentment. When you're content, you can't play.
We have some more college hoops and NBA on the way as Jonathan Von Tobel, NBA senior handicapper here at VSiN, joins the program next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see the changes in action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed better year-round. You can check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Also at VSiN.com, but go ahead and do VSiN.com/JVT. You get all of the written work from our guy, Jonathan Von Tobel, NBA senior handicapper, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, and a number of shows here at the network. Welcome in, JVT. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. It was a little bit of a crazy weekend, as you can imagine. I went a little too hard on Thursday and Friday, maybe on Saturday. So I got a little too wrapped up in the madness. I had to recover yesterday.
So you did exactly what TG said. Sunday's kind of the recovery day. Were you on a TCU ticket or did you have a Gonzaga, JVT?
Oh, I was on Gonzaga. So, you know, it was one of those two where it's like, hey, you know what? They had a poor shooting half of the first half. You kind of felt like they were going to come back and, you know, inflict their will upon that game. And they did. But they didn't do enough in the first half. So while everybody focuses on that one moment, right, your slow first half puts you in a position to where with 0.7 seconds left on the clock, you can get screwed over. So, no, I was on Gonzaga. It did stink when I watched that go down. But there's something magical about being on the bad end of something like that, right?
Yeah, there is.
I also feel like I've lived a million lives since the start of the NCAA tournament, right? Like Furman, Virginia seems like forever ago.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and you know, and it seems like it just always happens at the tournament. There's always something that kind of like that last second shot, you know, and go back to NC State, you know, and when they beat, you know, when Jimmy Valvano's shot. Guy shoots an air ball and they still win the game, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Now, hopefully it continues because this has been an awesome tournament and we've had some of the upsets. We've had a lot of sports betting shenanigans. I've been all in on these first to 15s this year. You know, I got groups of people putting money in on some of these first to 15s. So it's been wild. Hopefully the ride continues because it's been a great tournament so far. And we get a couple of games out here in our neck of the woods of Vegas. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, yes. That's been a fun thing at the sportsbook, though, watching all the cash, the tickets cashing, a lot of those dogs with the first to 10s and first to 15s and everybody like losing their minds when it's still so early in the game. But let's talk about some of these Sweet 16 matchups then, and whether you're looking out here at the games at T-Mobile Arena or elsewhere, when some of the numbers started popping up for the Sweet 16 games, was there one that really stood out above the rest for you?
So I promise I'm not doing this because of the show that I'm on, but Stormy, I am tempted by your Aztecs, although the market is not moving in that direction. So I went a full way, I think, of backing your Aztecs to a certain extent. So I went under 136. We're down to like 135.5 or 135 here. But I think when you're looking at this, San Diego State, I think, does have the ability to slow down Alabama offensively. I think the real question, and Stormy, it's something you and I have talked about a lot, right? It's whether Matt Bradley and company can actually do their part offensively. They did that against Furman, but against Alabama, I think, is a little bit of a different task. So while I am tempted to kind of back San Diego State from a point spread perspective, the market's not agreeing with me there, but the market is agreeing with me in the sense that this looks like this could be a rock fight, right? And I think that is potentially what this game takes on. So if San Diego State does cover, I think this is one that's correlated to their side. It does go under the total, but there's still a universe in which San Diego State does not cover, and this game goes under the total because they do not provide enough offensive efficiency on their end. So I think betting this thing under was the way to go. Again, I got under 136. We're down to 135.5. We'll see if there's any buyback. I still think the spot where your guys are sitting right now, Circa, is still at 136. So that's something I think I would grab because right now it does seem the market's heading down to like that 134.5, maybe even lower.
But you are tempted to correlate the bet. I mean, the 136 at 7.5 seems like that's a fairly significant spread for the over-under total. Don't you agree?
Oh, it does, Michael. I think so. I think part of the thing that kind of worries me off is, I think Stormy has seen this a lot. What would scare me is San Diego State being that the poor end in terms of their offensive outcomes, right? Like there's a wide spectrum of outcomes, obviously, but we've seen the bad end of San Diego State's offense where, you know, they're limited to about mid 50 or something like that. And they can't stay within a number like this, although they can still play at a high end defensively. So for me, I try to find different ways to correlate that. So you're right. Like both of those sides would be correlated, but I think for me, I'd rather take the risk of going under then tying that also to San Diego State and be kicking myself with a game that goes under, but they don't stay within 7.5, 8 points.
Yeah, JVT, I know it all too well. And I think you put it really, really well earlier when you said it's great that they had the heat offensively that they did against Furman, but Alabama defensively is going to be a little bit of a different task here. Certainly a step up in class. I did go ahead, though, earlier in a commercial break, bet SDSU plus the 8, so we'll see how things go. Another bet, though, I see that you're looking at is in Gonzaga, UCLA. That one is out here at T-Mobile Arena. The spread 1.5 right now. Zag's getting the points, but you're going on the money line instead.
Yeah, and I haven't bet this. I just want to see where the market's going to go before I jump in on Gonzaga, but I'm going to be on the Zags. Look, I like this team, and we can go back to last night and the fact that they failed to cover that number, but I think the second half of both of their first two games in this tournament, guys, have been more like the Gonzaga team that we expected them to be, right? They get off to kind of a cold start against Grand Canyon. They were actually, that was one of the first to 15s that I had bet in that game, too. They get off to a cold start. They're up 9-0 over Grand Canyon. Then, of course, they kind of fizzle, and then in the second half, they pull away there. Second half against TCU, we see a little bit more of what they're looking like in terms of full strength and when they're really firing on all cylinders. So I think that this Gonzaga team, while the market hasn't really loved them, I'm kind of in here. We're talking about a UCLA squad that, of course, is starting to get a little bit thinner as time goes along, right? More bodies getting a little dinged up, and they're already a thin unit as it is. I'm kind of in here on this Gonzaga team. They were my national championship selection. I think they came into this tournament on a really good run, and they're continuing to operate at a high end offensively. I think this is one where UCLA is going to be forced to kind of get out of their comfort zone a little bit. Gonzaga is going to force them to pick up tempo. Gonzaga is going to force them out to transition defense a little bit more often. I like this Gonzaga team. So I'm just going to see. I am going to bet it. I just want to see where the money line gets to, as high as it gets to with the Gonzaga Bulldogs. I'm going to come in and bet Gonzaga in this regional that I get to go to, by the way. So I'm very excited to check this out in person.
You know, JVT, KenPom has this as a three-point game, which I got to believe that when usually he has it like that, there is a lot more movement in the line where people see, well, look, it's 1.5. It should be 3. There should be some volatility in the line. And what do you think of the over total here? You know, we know UCLA is really good defensively, but what do you think of the 145.5? Do you think that will move?
Yeah, I, Michael, I would say, given the way that the market is moving, this is probably going to start to head under, right? I think we saw the initial opener at 145.5, and we're still stuck there. But given the fact that UCLA is getting the support, I would expect that maybe the market correlates that to playing this under the total, right? If UCLA is going to play their game, this is going to be a little bit more slower pace. This is going to be half-court oriented. This is going to be defensive oriented. Gonzaga is going to want to open this thing up and make this a little bit quicker. So I would expect that if this is going to start to move, we'll probably start to see this get to like 145 or 144.5, just given the way the side is moving at this point.
In the Midwest, Miami plus 7.5 against one of the top seeds remaining in Houston. And we've seen how they can look when they're cold, and we have seen how they have looked when they are hot, and they absolutely dominated Indiana this past game. What do you view Miami in terms of their performance against Houston coming up?
Man, I'm tempted by Miami here, and the market's kind of been up against Miami each of the first two rounds, right? The market pushed that number against Drake all the way down to 2.5, and yes, did they need, what was it, a 16-1 run at the end of that game to get there? Sure, but they got there, and they covered that number. And then, of course, against Indiana, market moves against them, and what happens? They won that game comfortably. You saw, Stormy, and you were just talking about, right, like how hot they got, how good this team is. I think we forget, like, this is an experienced group of guys. It's got a really high ceiling on offense, and the market has kind of slept on them each step of the way here. And I don't know if part of that is because they ran into a hot commodity that was Drake, a team that a lot of people thought was going to make a really big run. Part of it might be that they play in the ACC, and a lot of people thought that the ACC, of course, had a down year, and it did, and wasn't going to make that much noise in the tournament. So maybe they're being a little undervalued, but I like this team, man. They have really good guard play. They have a high ceiling on offense. Does their defense need some work? Absolutely. But I think up against Houston, I kind of want to play at this angle, Stormy, that they're being a little undervalued. So we'll see where the number goes. Again, I haven't bet this one yet. I'm just sitting back. And once the market starts to move in a certain way, that's when I'll jump in. So if it starts to get up to 7.5, 8, I'll just wait, see what the best number is. And if we start to get like 6.5 in a couple of spots, I'll go and grab 7. But I'm going to be in on Miami here against Houston.
Speaking of the market, all right, my man Joel Embiid's making a huge jump here in the market. People are drinking the Kool-Aid on the 76ers. Are you drinking it, JVT? Or are you going to figure it out that they're beating all these bad teams? I mean, just tell
me
what you got.
8-game win streak, though. Win's a win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. You know, that Indiana Pacer team is so talented. I can understand how they won that game. Go ahead, JVT. I'd love to hear your commentary on this.
Well, Michael, you know me. I have drank and digested my Kool-Aid already. I got them at 24-1 to win the NBA Finals a while back. I like this 76ers team. They were my preseason pick to get to the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference. I think that when they're firing on all cylinders, they're going to be very good.
I'm going to text you pictures of Doc Rivers every day from here on out. Go ahead, continue.
Hey, well, that's the weak link, I'll tell you that much. But I think even you have to admit, like, when they're at their peak offensively, they can go toe-to-toe with a lot of these teams, and Embiid's at the center of that. I don't know if he's like a $2.10 favorite to win MVP. We're going to have that straw poll, I think. We're going to have one more for Bontemps to come out here. I think people will be surprised how tight that is between all three candidates. But I think the market's gotten a little too overzealous here. I'd be looking elsewhere in that MVP market at Giannis or at Nikola Jokic, because I don't think the probability is that high that Joel Embiid, who was third by some voters' accounts, right? We saw that the second straw poll has leaped both Giannis and Jokic by such a wide margin, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, they are playing better. I'm not going to dispute that. But I think, to me, if they get the third seed and play Miami, I'm just telling you, JVT, they won't beat Miami.
I think Miami stinks, so I'll take that bet.
They won't beat them. They can stink all you want. They won't beat them. We'll bet that one. We'll bet a dinner on that.
Thanks, JVT. You're awesome. Appreciate you, bud.
Good to talk to you guys. See you on Wednesday.
Jonathan Von Tobel. Check out the Hardwood Handicappers podcast as well, anywhere you download your podcast. And I like what he said about looking elsewhere in the MVP market, because Jokic was an odds-on favorite for a long time. You can get a plus money price now on him.
Absolutely.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Our team is here to get you ready for each and every game of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets and tools like our exclusive betting splits. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament. Just $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you live from Circa Resort and Casino as we welcome in friend of the show, Mike Pritchard, former decade-long receiver in the National Football League, current VSiN host, doing great things. And I'll see you right here on Lombardi Line once again tomorrow, Pritch. So appreciate you being with us. How much have you been getting into the madness, by the way, my friend?
Oh, I'm full throttle with the madness, Stormy. I hit two unders, and I had Pitt in the early rounds, obviously. So not a lot to handicap. You know, a lot of my approach was in-game. Some good advice from James Salinas, an excellent handicapper. So I followed his advice, and it paid off. 3-0 so far with the madness.
You know, Danielle Alvario was on yesterday. She was hitting that. You know, I think there's a real huge market. Talking to Thomas Gable over the weekend, Pritch, he has a lot of guys that live at the Borgata year round that bet football, college basket, college and pro football, and then they bet college basketball. But once the tournament starts, they all leave because they don't bet baseball. So they go home. That's the end of it, right? And the reason they leave so early is because the numbers are too good. The lines are perfectly set, and so there's really no advantage to the better. So the in-game betting becomes really more of like what JVT said in the last block about Gonzaga not shooting well. You know the numbers. One thing, basketball is an analytical sport where if you're usually shooting 52% and you shoot 38 in the first half, you're going to eventually get to your number. So I think the in-game betting is there for you. There's no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in those early rounds too. Like I think handicappers might have a chance now with the Sweet 16 because you have two games of a sample size to really get out there and handicap it and break it down. But then the numbers get challenging too, right, Michael? So to your point, but the early rounds, we saw the madness. This field was wide open. We kind of knew that. So the in-game approach certainly was beneficial for sure.
Yeah, I like that, especially if you feel confident in a side going into a game, but maybe the number isn't what you want, and then you just kind of wait to see if you can find that number on the
exactly.
live line.
I mean, what, Auburn was the favorite to beat Houston at halftime the other day. They're up 10, right? You could have got Houston end points, and look at that. You walk away with it.
Yeah, pay attention to which teams are better at adjusting in certain situations. Here with Mike Pritchard, though, former NFL wide receiver. And Pritch, let's get into some of this NFL talk, because already this offseason, lots of moves been made in free agency, deals getting done, trades, people on the move. Has there been a specific free agent signing that has stood out to you as maybe the most impactful for where that player has landed?
Well, I think we're still waiting on the most impactful one, Stormy, and that would be Aaron Rodgers, I would think.
Fair.
right? Still waiting on that thing. I don't know when it gets resolved, but it probably will, right, I think. But, you know, there's been some sneaky signings that I think teams have improved. I mean, taking a look at Detroit, taking a look at the Giants with Darren Waller, and also you think about Paris Campbell and Slayton. I mean, these are some guys that can surround what they already have, what they've established with Daniel Jones and certainly Saquon. So I think teams like that, but more importantly, teams that had the fit approach, like the Las Vegas Raiders. The migration of New England to the West Coast has taken place, right? And but the thing about fit, Stormy, and Michael knows this always full and well, it's like fit, you define that by continuity and familiarity. And so teams with the continuity, certainly they have a leg up and training camp. You know, you hit the ground running as opposed to install and hit the ground walking. And then certainly from a familiarity standpoint, the nuances that can elevate the execution aspect of both sides of the ball. So that's what, as a better I'm looking for that. And certainly as a former player, I know teams try to certainly have that in their favor.
Excuse me. Sorry. I've got like a frog in my throat today, Pritch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Prayers up for me. No, Uh-oh. No, you're good.
Prayers up for you. Yep, absolutely.
You know, one of the teams that Michael and I was talking about earlier that's put a significant amount of money into their team so far is the Denver Broncos. And just because you're paying a certain amount of money doesn't necessarily mean you're getting the most value for some of those players. And Michael had mentioned feeling maybe some of those guys that they got up front on the offensive line were overpaid. They're still going to be fine, but getting a little too much money. Are there some players that stood out to you as getting a little too much bang for their buck this offseason?
Yeah, it's always difficult in terms of bang for your buck and too much. I mean, the market has deflated Lamar Jackson, even though that guy is worth $50 million a year, right? I mean, it's hard to say that. I mean, Derek Carr going to New Orleans, you know, he created a market. And I give his representatives and himself a lot of credit because the only market he had from a trade standpoint was with New Orleans, but yet under that old deal. But now, you know, you get released and you create a market. And so maybe he gets a better situation that way. Hargrave, I don't think that's too expensive because San Francisco is defensive minded at this point, especially with their quarterback situation. So they were number one in points allowed last year. I think what they paid for is to ensure that they're number one in points allowed again as they lose DeMeco Ryans and they adjust a little bit, but then also with the quarterback situation. So, you know, teams like that did spend, I think are going to be pretty solid. You know, Denver Broncos, they're trying to go from worst to first in an offseason, and I don't think that's going to play out that way.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Hargrave, did you see what Hargrave said, Pritch? He said that had, you know, Purdy not gotten hurt, they would have beaten us that day. So, yeah. I mean, maybe he's saying that because he's joining a new team. But, you know, and that goes with saying. But I do think that San Francisco is going to be a better team. I know people criticize it. I'd love to hear what you think. I actually think that Sam Darnold signing for San Francisco is a really good signing. He played better. If you watch the games at the end of the year, he played much better for the Panthers than he did really for a lot of games with the Jets.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think what Kyle was able to get out of Brock Purdy, because from an evaluation process, he was Mr. Irrelevant. But then from a performance standpoint, he was a vital piece. So to me, that was what Kyle and those coaches were able to help Brock with, you know, and certainly give a lot of credit to Brock Purdy as well, too, not making a lot of mistakes. But if he didn't get hurt, yeah, I think that's a totally different game. And I agree with you. I think Sam Darnold, with the proper instruction, in other words, you know, that offense is so quarterback friendly. And Sam Darnold, you're not going to see ghost. Because guys are going to be so wide open a lot of times. And if they're not, then your footwork in that pocket is going to tell you to go where to go with that football. So, I mean, if he can embrace that and not be set in his ways, I think he's got upside out there with San Francisco.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree. I think Kyle will get something out of him. I think there's no doubt about that. You know, the one team that I think, as you look at this, that I think is really destined to be a disaster, I think it's Tampa. You go from Brady to Baker. You got an older team. They're huge. They're really under the, they're struggling with the cap. I don't see it. What are your thoughts, especially in that north and south where there's really not a dominant team there? I think New Orleans is the best team in that conference, assuming we don't know what's going to happen with Carolina quarterback. Maybe it will be Bryce Young. I think it is, but they're a good team, Carolina, but with a rookie quarterback, they might not be.
Okay, I got a question for you about Bryce Young, but
okay,
you know, you're right. You're right about Tampa. You know, Baker, and full disclosure, I've known Baker. I met him at the Senior Bowl. We got the same agent, Jack Mills, AJ Mills, Tom Mills. And, you know, he's one of those guys that the talent and you love the wow factor with him, that effect that he has as a franchise quarterback. But can he capture a locker room and sustain it, right? And I think that's the questions in front of Baker right now. Like what you said, Michael, that older veteran group out there in Tampa that's won a Super Bowl, that's going to be hard to fit in with.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. To me, it just didn't fit right. Where are you headed on the question? Give it to me.
Well, Bryce Young. You said Bryce Young should go number one or to Carolina. Are you worried about his height? Because it's like history suggests that his height, it's not long term. Maybe it's a quick hit for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think this is either going to be Steph Curry or it's going to be a complete mistake. I think here, look, the two quarterbacks that I cite, in the quarterbacks who got the most balls batted down in the National Football League, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, both are over 6'4". But in this picture we have on the skit, you could see the tilt of his shoulder. The ball is headed upward, so he can, and he's got great instincts to move in the pocket and make throws. So I love that. I'm concerned about the size. I'm concerned about taking so many hits. He's got an ability to avoid. He was born to play quarterback. His arm is better than I think. It's much better than Tua's. There's no doubt. He's accurate on every single level. He can make all the throws. I'm more of a fan after I watched him pitch than I was just TV scouting him. But I do worry about the height. As Buddy Ryan eloquently once said, there is a place in football for the little man. It just isn't in front of the big man.
Yeah.
Pritch, awesome stuff. Appreciate you, pal. In the commercial break, though, I'm going to need to give you to give me that pro tip. I know you had some good advice for bettors when it comes to the NFL around free agency. So I'm going to get that from you in the commercial, and we'll bring it back in the next segment. Appreciate you doing this.
Thanks, Pritch.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Mike Pritchard at MI Pritchard on Twitter as well. We'll be right back here wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Also, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert your BetMGM points to BetMGM Rewards points that you can use to dining, shows, hotel rooms, all that jazz at over 20 MGM Rewards properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Rolling along here. We are wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line live from Circa Resort and Casino. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. Just had a great conversation with fellow VSiN host Mike Pritchard, former longtime NFL veteran. And he shouted us out with a little pro tip here.
Yeah, I like I like this.
This is great stuff. So for bettors approaching the NFL going into next season, he says the hype of free agency happens every single year. People overreact to it, but it's important to focus on the teams and players that have the best fit, which teams put the most of their puzzle together with the free agent pieces.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And you want to be able to, Al Davis's big thing was you wanted to be able to have a team that could play a game before the draft. So what does that mean? That means you have enough players, not that they're great, but you don't go into the draft saying, if we don't get a right tackle, we can't play football next year. And I think that's a great point. And I think, to me, you got to take a step back and not go overboard on, oh, my God, this team signed this guy. I mean, remember, last year Denver was the cream of the crop. And, you know, look what happened to them. It's all got to come together. It's all got to be handled with coaching. And there's got to be a form of chemistry that comes in. And did you sign the right fit for your team? You know, like Williams, Jamal Williams for New Orleans is a really good fit for them, right? So he gets them an inside runner to go along with Kamara. That's a great fit. He's also a banger in the goal line. Great fit. He can get short yardage. Great fit. So they're adding pieces that fit to who they are and what they want to do. You know, when you look at, you know, Darren Waller goes to the Giants. Okay, everybody's upset. They got a third-round pick for Waller, the same thing that they got for Jalen Ramsey. I don't know why anybody would be upset about that. But Myers gives them an inside slot receiver that's bigger. People say, well, they have Renfro. No, Renfro can't block and run. Renfro's too small to block the support. So when you have Jacobs in the backfield and you're in a three-receiver set and Renfro's your slot receiver, that becomes a little bit of a harder way to navigate in terms of getting a blocker in the run game. Mm-hmm. So with Myers, you get a bigger blocker in the run game. That's a better fit for 11 personnel teams if you want to get the ball to Josh Jacobs. So it's all about fit and how it all kind of comes together.
Yeah, so look at teams more from that 50-foot view, how the puzzle is coming together versus just kind of a splash piece here. VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com. They are searchable by sport and by show. Get one of these in every single show every day here on the network. There are a couple of signings that we didn't get a chance to talk to yet, Michael, over the last 24 hours. The Lions this weekend signed former Eagle safety CJ Gardner-Johnson to a one-year deal worth up to $8 million, $6.5 million fully guaranteed at signing. He played just the 1 year with the Eagles, but all of the reports were saying that the Eagles were trying to bring him back. They offered him a longer-term deal, but he wanted to test the waters. He wanted more. He wanted more, and they weren't ready to offer.
He was looking for 12 to 14. He thought he was going to get a huge deal coming out of there. And look, they needed him because, you know, Elliott, their safety, he was hurt last year. He's not really a cover guy. He's an in-the-box safety, and he gave them a lot of play when they went nickel. When Detroit started to play better defense last year, they got out of their base defense and they played more nickel, and Elliott was like a linebacker in the box. Now, Gardner-Johnson gives them more coverage skills. Detroit's still going to need to draft a corner, and I expect with one of these two draft picks they will. They're going to need to get a corner. They're going to need to get more pass rush. But their defense, I think, is slowly starting to come along, especially Aaron Glenn figured out, look, we've signed Cameron Sutton. That's one corner. You know, we get another corner, and then we've also got, you know, they've got Gardner-Johnson to cover the tight ends, especially now, you know, when we look at what Denver was able to do with Minnesota did when they got T.J. Hockenson. So it's a good fit for them, and I think it works really well. And they got him at a cheap deal at $8 million. He didn't get his $12 million.
Yeah, he's coming off a career-high six-pick season, the tied for the most in the NFL this year, and that was with him missing a handful of games with a lacerated kidney. But on the side of things from a compensation standpoint, where, like, even after the Eagles re-signed James Bradberry and brought Darius Slay back, they still wanted to have something work out with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and clearly it didn't work out. The market in general wasn't there, though. And so can you just talk about that in general with free agency?
Well, I mean, when you don't have the market, they offered him a deal. The agent comes out and says, well, it was a back-end loaded deal. Well, it probably was, because they couldn't pay him in terms of fitting him into the cap. Interesting that Jonathan Gannon, who coached him, wasn't after him in Arizona. You know, he coached them, and they need a safety that can cover too, and they didn't go after him. So, look, Gardner Johnson's a really good player, but he's hard to coach. He's not an easy guy to coach, and I think people know that in the league. It's one of the reasons why New Orleans moved on from him, because he is volatile. He's a competitive guy. He's going to say what he thinks, and it's sometimes he rubs his teammates the wrong way, and I think the Eagles would have liked him back, but at their price. I think Detroit knows him. Campbell was with him in New Orleans. So was Aaron Glenn. They feel like, look, we can manage them. We'll handle them. We'll get the best out of them. So hopefully they can do that.
Another move, the Carolina Panthers signed former Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen to a 3-year, $25 million deal. He gets $10 million this season, $14 million fully guaranteed at signing. He was released from the Vikings on March 10th after a decade with the team. He's third all-time on the Vikings receiving list, trailing only Chris Carter and Randy Moss, a pair of Hall of Famers, not too shabby. But I think that he is someone, like, the Carolina Panthers have done a good job of just, like, slowly building some things up. And as far as getting more veterans to, like, when you bring in this top overall selection, whether it's Bryce Young or whoever it is, to just have more veteran voices in the room, give that little bit of protection.
I think Thielen will be good for them. You know, Andy Dalton, he'll get comfortable as Andy Dalton starts these first couple games before they go to whomever they draft. I think it'll be Bryce Young. But, you know, could it be C.J. Stroud? This week, Stormy, we're going to find out a lot. C.J. Stroud works out Wednesday, so the whole Carolina Panther contingency, including, I'm sure, their owner, will spend time there. Thursday, Alabama has their pro day, and then Kentucky has their pro day. So by the end of this week, when we're doing shows over the weekend, we'll have a better understanding of this marketplace. But Carolina, they still need an outside receiver. I think the guy that's interesting to me in Carolina's offense is Shenault. They got him from Jacksonville. He, other than Deebo Samuel, I don't know of a player in the National Football League who's harder to tackle than this guy. He's really good with the ball in his hands. And if he can stay healthy, to me, he's a huge asset for their offense, especially considering with Miles Sanders now in the backfield, this team can run the ball. I think this is a team that if they get one more piece on defense, a rusher, this would be a team that I would take a chance. It's going to be interesting what their over-under total is. This is a good team. This is a good team that I think could really take a giant step from going from where they were. Remember, if DJ Moore keeps his hat on, they're a playoff team. If J.C. Horn stayed healthy last year at the end of the season and could have covered Mike Evans in that Tampa game, they're gonna win that game. So for me, I think this is a team that's got the arrow up, and I think the market agrees with me at plus 250. Here they are with no quarterback, and they're at plus still. They have Andy Dalton, but I mean, look at that. And the Bucks, who've made all these moves, are plus 500. I think the Bucks are, I think it's going to be a hard year for Todd Bowles. I really do.
This division is so interesting because think about how wide open the NFC South was last year with Tom Brady in it. Yeah. Now that Brady's gone and you're having little pieces come in, you bring Derek Carr into New Orleans, makes them the favorite in the division now. But Carolina, like to your point, is doing a really good job, I think, of building out. I really love the staff that they have hired under Frank Reich. They have a lot of potential, I think.
They really do. And like, why am I down on the Bucs? Because Brady does such a good job of protecting the ball that they're going to go with a quarterback who doesn't protect the ball to Brady's level. It's the same thing in Green Bay. You're going to go with Jordan Love. He doesn't protect. Now, Rodgers had 12 interceptions. I think he's only had three games.
It's an anomaly, yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, that never happens. So now you're going to go to a quarterback who may not protect the ball as well. I think that's the concern you have. I mean, one thing about Carr in New Orleans, he does a good job of protecting the football. A couple of his interceptions this year got tip balls, but for the most part, he does. And I think the Bucs with Baker, he doesn't protect the ball as well. And I think that's going to be a problem. Green Bay, Jordan Love, Kenny, we don't know this yet. Can he protect the football? I think that remains to be seen.
We didn't talk any Aaron Rodgers today, and it was a blessing. But are you surprised that we haven't seen a deal yet?
No, I think this is a waiting game. I think Rodgers is telling the Jets, look, look, don't give in, don't give in, don't give in. They eventually got to give in. I think the Packers are just sitting there waiting to say, look, the Packers don't have to do anything because there's no cap implications. Mm-hmm. They're carrying them on their cap. So neither team is affected. I think it gets done? Yeah, eventually it gets done.
It's a day that ends in Y, so you knew that we eventually were going to bring up Aaron Rodgers
absolutely.
A little bit here.
No doubt about it, Stormy. I mean, why not? You know, I mean, we got to talk about it. I mean, look, I do think this will make the Jets better. He will protect the ball. He will protect the ball for the Jets. That gives them a huge, huge upgrade over a lot of teams.
That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Thanks for hanging out with us. And, Michael, you'll be back in a couple days. Head up to Calgary.
I will be back. I'll see you on Thursday, Stormy. Thank you.